You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fadis.
Talking about Chad Daybell, obviously we know what happened with Lori earlier in the year. His trial set to begin early next year. And some hearings taking place as they begin to prepare for it. One of the interesting points that I found in this thus far, and I'm curious to get your perspective, is Chad is pushing. He wants cameras in that courtroom. Obviously, we did not have it with Lori Vallo-Daybell. The prosecution does not want cameras in this. Can you speak to that a little bit? What are the pros and cons of this? Why would someone like Chad want cameras on him in a courtroom?
You know, I can't help but wonder, after kind of the spectacle that Lori put on during this trial, she had the cameras on her, and she's acting pretty erratically. Her appearance looks a lot different at times. There are kind of outbursts and lacks of decorum. And I just wonder if Chad wants to contrast his situation and who he is with how Lori was presented to the public in her trial. Chad had, throughout the case, has seemed rather composed and somewhat reserved and just presenting a lot differently than Lori, a lot less crazy, for lack of a better term. And I just wonder if that is the impression he's seeking to make with the public, is that, hey, I am not Lori, I am different than her, and my involvement, if any, was different than her. And perhaps that's one of the reasons he's asking for the cameras. On the other side, all of his dirty laundry is going to be aired to the entire world. But, it kind of already has through the media. So what does he have to lose?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. I mean, it already is out there. And obviously, the public is not going to be the one that decides his fate. It's going to be that jury. So cameras, I mean, other than just, I don't know if he somehow thinks he's going to sway public opinion during the trial. I don't know if that's just some sort of fantastical idea that may be in his head, but there's going to be a lot of things that are going to come out. When you look at what this next trial is going to be, we obviously got that preview and a big layout of it with Lori's. What do you think, if anything, is going to differ when it comes to Chad going in front of the court, in front of that jury?
You know, one benefit that Chad has in doing this trial second, of course, is that his co-defendant, Lori, has already been convicted of killing these kids. And so Chad obviously has the benefit of pointing the finger and saying, hey, look, public, you already have your pound of flesh. You have the person who's responsible for this. I was sort of along for the ride and got caught up, or however he's going to characterize it. And so I think that's obviously a benefit. Secondly, he's got a glimpse as to what the prosecution's case looks like. Mm-hmm. And so he knows sort of some of the strategic decisions they might make in his case. So he's got several benefits in terms of going second in the sequence of this trial, these trials.
With that being said, the benefit of going second, already knowing pretty much where things went with Lori's trial itself, how do you think they're going to differ? Do you, if you're to put on your defense strategy hat, if you will, I mean, where would you take this with someone like Chad to attempt to get some sort of a different outcome than that of what Lori ended up facing?
Well, one thing that his defense team should at least consider is the possibility of resolving this short of trial. Like I said, his defense can go to the prosecution and say, hey, look, you'll already have the person who did this. A jury's decided that. Give me something a little more lenient and we'll be done with this and not have to go through all the heartache. Although I don't know if the prosecution is inclined to do that. Here, his trial is going to be different in part as to on whom blame is placed. Now, let's not forget that the bodies of these children were essentially found in Chad's backyard. So that's going to be hard to explain away, but it will be easy to point the finger at the person who has already been convicted of child murder, and that is Lori Daybell. And to just kind of contrast some of Chad's statements pre-trial with Lori's, which were more kind of inflammatory and damaging and paint a worse picture, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because Lori, throughout her entire trial, didn't want to point the finger at Chad. The attorneys for her, obviously they went there a little bit with kid gloves, it kind of seemed, by trying to honor her wishes, but at the same point, having their hands tied with those gloves on as much as they could. Do you think they're going to take more of that approach, but more of a direct approach this round of literally throwing Lori under the bus, pointing out some of the inconsistencies in an effort to try and save Chad. Do you think Chad has that sort of loyalty to Lori still that will come through in this?
Yeah, no, it's an important question. And, you know, it's hard to delve into the personal dynamics of that relationship. But if I'm the defense lawyer for Chad Daybell, I'm saying, hey, look, your life is on the line. Your freedom forever is on the line. And you need to do what is legally and strategically advantageous to you to try to get some kind of good outcome in this case. And what that is blaming Lori Daybell. Now, will Chad have the, you know, emotional constitution to go there? I'm not sure, but I think his attorneys will press hard for that kind of a defense in his trial.
The other question that begs to be asked, and a difference between his trial and Lori's, is death is still on the table for Chad Daybell. If you're the attorneys right now, are you sitting there trying to think of some way to exonerate Chad or get a not guilty verdict? Or is the main goal at this point just get him life in prison and spare his life?
You know, there's certainly some damage control that Chad's attorneys are going to be looking at. The fact that these two bodies of these poor, innocent children ended up in Chad Daybell's backyard is an atrocious fact and probably not one that can be explained away or escaped without criminal responsibility. And so, yes, I think his attorneys have to look at what the charges are, see if there are lesser charges that they can try to ask the jury to compromise on and say, hey, look, Chad Daybell wasn't the ringleader here. He wasn't the individual most involved. You know, he was sort of an accomplice or an accessory or something like that, and try to paint that picture for the jury in hopes of sparing Chad Daybell's life. But I because Lori Daybell didn't get the death penalty, I think it's unlikely that Chad, who arguably has lesser involvement, would get it.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.